Islam of Beis, Zechariah Mamavis Tomid, and Seder L'Derech Halchein, we've seen Bnei Necha Shnei Elu Tomid. These two thoughts should be constantly in your mind. The thought of Zechariah Mamavis and the thought of Seder L'Derech Halchein, and that will prepare you for that day, the day of Pirud. You'll be ready for it. Let's hold the thought here. The last part is a little more intense. So, Yom Avos is a topic which is somewhat swept under the rug. We're only talking about it so much. So, Rabbi Avita Miller Zatzal has a story that he was once asked to speak about Chasana. So, once in a while, there used to be a thing of people would actually speak by Chasana. You ever experienced that? No, during the meal.
Yeah.
Right. So that was standard. There was somebody spoke during the meal. So he asked him to speak during the meal. And he spoke about Yom Avos at a chasana. So he says, after you finished speaking about Yom Avos, so a batan got up. And he said, Miller has made all of us very sad with his speech about the Yom Avos, and I will not make you happy, and he's told some stupid jokes. He says, so why do you speak about Yom Avos by the Chasna? It's better with the Gemara in the fourth parak in Brachas. The Gemara says that it was a Chista, it was by the Chasna, and I saw that they were getting a little bit out of hands. So he broke a very expensive glass, and he sang a song, Violon the Misna, Violon the Misna, woe to us that we're going to die, woe to us that we're going to die. So apparently that's right at the time of the Gemara, that was the in song. Echasans was woe to us that we're going to die. I don't know any singers yet who sing it. We could definitely make a permanent spiel out of it, right? It's together with the song of Ganovim, Ganovim. He gives man to return your things that you stole. So you would sing Violon the Misna. So why? What's the shaykhus to chasna? He says, the Gemara says, as the Medrash says that Bershom v'yarlakim is kosher asobi hinei toiv moed v'yer v'yavurka yom hashishi v'yarlakim is kosher asobi hinei toiv. So one pshat of the Medrash says that's yetzer toiv. Toiv moed is yetzer hara. As a toiv is leida, toiv moed is misa. The best thing for the world is Misa. I don't know about you. I happen to be a very strong procrastinator. I by nature I'm a very big procrastinator. And I cannot understand, my mind can't absorb, if I live to be 850 years old, when I get things done. It's bad enough trying to get things done when a person lives to be 80, 90, Halavai, right? Imagine a person lives to be 850, 900, 967, I'll take care of it, when? 5 years from now, plenty of time. Something which is limitless, has no limits to it. People don't understand how valuable it is. The most valuable thing in the world is air. No human being can survive without oxygen. But we never think about how valuable it is until we realize we have a limited supply. A person is scuba diving and he realizes that he's 10 minutes below the surface and he has 5 minutes worth of oxygen left and he misread his tank. He understands how valuable air is. But until he understands that there's a limited supply, it doesn't mean anything to him. It's the most valuable thing there is in the world, but it doesn't make a difference. So life is the most valuable thing there is in the world. We understand how valuable it is when we understand that it's limited. But a person thinks he's going to live forever, so what value is there to life? It's the most precious thing that there is to understand the value of life is the Yom Avos. Because you'll use your life in the best way possible. So that's not a sad thing. It's a very happy thing. Because it gives a person the focus to understand the value of what he has. See, now he understands he got a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful matana. It's so precious. The preciousness is increased by the fact that it's limited. I mean, we don't understand why this is so. Air sells for very little, and diamonds sell for a lot. Now, diamonds are worthless, and air is precious. But diamonds, because they're limited, are worth more. Precious metals, like gold is a precious metal. Like, you know, there's very little you can do with gold. It has zero worth. My mother once told me, that people went to the Ural Mountains. They had gold. The communists would send them to the prison camps in the Ural Mountains. They had gold mines. They didn't watch. They didn't search the prisoners. No problem. You want to stick gold dust in your pocket? No problem. And the old timers used to laugh at them. This is like, nobody's gonna give anything for it. It's worthless. What do you do with it? Bread is worth something. So she told me, she said, after the war, so her brother was the only survivor of the family, that other survivor, her sisters, parents, everyone else, you know, been killed. She found her brother was alive in Siberia. And so she went to Siberia. She traveled from where she was. She was already stationed in Germany with the communist army. She traveled all the way from, she was 50 kilometers from Berlin, all the way to Siberia to find her brother. And he was very not well. She was part of the conquering army of Germany, so she packed up two suitcases of tailor-made dresses, gorgeous dresses that the German woman had owned. That was booty that she took from the conquest. Says, but these suitcases were the international travel suitcases they used to have. You know, they used to, it was like the size of a house. You know, these gigantic suitcases. She had two of them packed, filled with tailor-made dresses. Gorgeous, expensive dresses. She came to Siberia, and her brother was very ill, and he was very weak, etc. He needed food. There's no food. Where do we get food? He says, look, she got one dress was a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread cost a dress. These dresses were worth hundreds of dollars. They cost, you know, the tremendous amounts of money then. Nowadays they cost, you know, they're tailor-made, you know, gorgeous dresses, you know, beautiful. Thousands of dollars they cost. That's a loaf of bread. That's life. Bread is life. What's gold? But so the most precious thing in the world is life, but we don't understand it because it's not limited. We don't understand the limit. So the Tzar comes along and says that people think that a person thinks that this world is his forever. He's here forever. As Chatzal Levinson says, he says, you know, there's different country clubs you belong to. You know, so Norbert Country Club. I don't belong to Norbert Country Club. So there's a country club called the Heberstarbers, the country, you know, the club of the people who die. I didn't join membership in that group. I don't belong to that group. I'm going to live forever. That's how we think. That's how we walk through the world. So we end up squandering all our time. So the rush, no, don't do that. Understand the time is limited. And the more you think about that, the more you're going to appreciate what you have. And the result will be tzedek terechach, and you're going to prepare, use the time properly and wisely, and produce wonderful things for yourself. And every moment that you understand that, you know, that it's going to be mizumanim l'cholayim apirut. So the next step is the following. The Yom Kippur is a tremendous sekhanatika moment. A person comes to the day where a person takes leave of this world. So there's a medrash, it's a scary medrash. Medrash says that that person is kol yom b'mitzvah, and he's nifter b'techa v'era, is kilo kol yom b'avera. That person is kol yom b'avera, and he's nifter b'techa mitzvah, kilo kol yom b'mitzvah. So Yeruchim says, well, what's that all about? So he has a shmuz over there. It's scary because the shmuz was given, the name of the shmuz is Balabayis Toichik, and it was the last shmuz that he said. And then shortly afterwards, he was nifter. So he says, the Mishnah says, I know it's Balabayis Toichik. So you understand the Balabayis Toichik, it means like this. He's pushing you, the Balabayis, the Rosh Hashanah is pushing you. So that's not what it means. He says, imagine I make up to meet with you, meet somebody. I make up, you know, we're going to meet at 2 o'clock. So I come 2 minutes late. So 2 minutes late, they don't give a damn, you're still there. Imagine you're traveling through town on the train. And make up, I'm going to meet you at the station at 2 o'clock. I come to the station at 2:02. You're gone. I came too late. The train moved on. I had 2 minutes to catch you. You came to the station. But by the time, I mean, he's pushing forward. Russia was constantly moving. You never can rest on your laurels. You have to constantly hold on to the border. So the person's lets go at the last moment. He let go. That's the Balabai's Lech. He's pushing forward. You have to always hold on. He says, there's simple things. He's still used to this. Prepared his whole life for that. When it came to the Yom HaMavis, came the moment of death, he would be there with the total meluchas nefesh to think through what he wanted to do at that moment. Because it's a scary moment. It's always a scary moment. A person taking leave of this world. Tremendously scary moment. But a person understands that he lived his whole life with the understanding that this world is limited. And there's a world to come which is limitless. And this world is appraised of Nehalam Hapo. So it's not scary. Miriam Zilber and his Makar Chaim over here, he has the following Ha'ara. I think it's over here somewhere. That the Medrash says in Pasuk Kehelis, "B'chol b'dach ha'yu, b'chol yitzib b'dach ha'lubonim, M'shem al reshcha al yachzor." So you should always be prepared. So he says, because you never know when a person is going to be taken away. So he says the Medrash gives a moshul that there was a woman who was the wife of a sailor, and sometimes he was out in the high seas for many, many months. She's always dressing herself very beautifully. Her clothes was very clean and beautiful. And she had she was anointed. And the neighbor asked, "Your husband's not home, what are you doing?" He says, "You never know. Maybe it'll be a fast wind. And the boat will come in quicker than I expected. And I'll be ready for it." Imagine he walks in, I'm at my curlers. And finally he comes back after six months. He comes back 2 months early, 6 months. And he walks in, I'm wearing my slippers, my hair is in my curlers. And that's like a schmuck. So I'm ready at any given moment. That's the mosh. So he says, so Chazal used that mashal for Yom HaMavis. The Eishes Maloch, the wife of the sailor, is dreaming when her husband's going to come home. That's the mashal Chazal used for Yom HaMavis. We sit there and, when am I going to die? Let's die today, Why is that the mashal? So it's more than the mashal. He says, no, it's not. What the Chazal is saying is that the neshama has this tremendous tshuka to be back with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if we understand that, it's a happy day. The day that the neshama is able to rejoin back to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and leave the limitations of this goof. So it's a day which the Chazal touched up as a day of simcha b'etzem. Elamai what? There are elements which are sad. It has to take leave. But the etzem concept is not. There's a beautiful piece in the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, the Torah says, Yisr says, "Varim atem ha'chem lakechem, mosis gadol, mosisim akarcho ben enechem lameis." So what's the hemshel of the pasuk? So Rashi says, "Varim atem ha'chem lakechem, you're the bonim, so it's not proper that you should be cut up. You can't, it doesn't befit the royalty." Aruch Haim HaKadosh says like this, imagine there was a father who sent his son and said, your son, he felt the son needed to learn the value of a dollar. He sent them away to a faraway land. He says, "Listen, go. I want you to go over there and work hard. And when I'm ready, he'll call you back." So that's what he did. So he goes to this faraway land and he lives there for years and years and years, and he makes friends and he settles down, etc. One day he gets a message from his father, "It's time to come home." So he goes to the port, gets on the boat, and he says goodbye to all of his friends. I'll never see them again. So, of course, everybody's very sad, because they're never going to see each other again. But they're not really sad, 100%, because they feel good for him, because he's going back to his father. If you understand the client, we're going back to our father, so we can't put a karka ben elchem. We can't have that level of pain that we personally mutilate itself. We understand that moment is a moment that Hashem is on Zerich go back to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We miss him. There's a sadness there, but not to that level, because we understand what it is. So if a person tells that attitude beforehand, so when the Yom period comes, he's ready. He can deal with it. He won't be overwhelmed. And he'll use that time for the last moments properly, for tshuva, for thanking the Kodesh Baruch Hu for the opportunities that he had to become Kodesh Baruch Hu, as opposed to just being overwhelmed by that moment and not using it properly.